Fantasy football is about choices. Will it be James's expertise?
He's going to be the only guy on the field to get the ball. He's a three-down workhorse to get the ball.
Or Chris's insight.
But even if they trade him, I still don't think they're going to become a run-first team.
The choice is in your hands. We give you the option.
What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Nick, and today we're talking all about position battles. May it be quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, who knows, we may even get to kickers. Nah, I'm kidding, not kickers. We don't need to do that. But let's get to our first one. It is a quarterback battle between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. What do we think, gentlemen?
Why are we talking about two shitty quarterbacks for? Who wants to know about that?
I don't think he said Dak and whoever's playing backup at Dallas.
I'm pretty sure Dak's going to finish higher fantasy than any of these two quarterbacks. But that's okay. Let's continue.
Is Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill French for Dak Prescott and backup QB at, in Dallas? Is that what that is for? But
I don't know. They can't even hold his jock strap. It's okay. Continue.
Whose jock strap? Can they hold Dax's ankle strap?
His ankle will be repaired. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Just a sprain. Look, guys, Drew Brees wasn't on the sideline in his final game as a New Orleans Saint, whispering sweet nothings into Taysom Hill's ears as he rode off into the sunset.
He was telling him how hurt
Winston
he was.
Getting that love. It was Winston who Drew Brees was telling him that it's his team now, and he believes in him.
Winston, he wanted his shoes. He was the closest
will
guy
give
there.
The Saints a better chance at winning the division. You're not going to do that with Taysom Hill as your starter, where he threw for 78 yards in Week 12 of last year against the Denver Broncos when they had Kendall Hinton as the quarterback in Denver. He should have had a game. He had a good running game, but not a good passing game. And that's what he is. Jameis Winston is a 5,000-yard passer. That is something that Taysom Hill will never be able to put on his resume. And now that Jameis Winston has the LASIK eye surgery, before when turnovers were an issue for him, but looking at the scheme and how Sean Payton's going to have to put him in better situations so he doesn't turn over the ball, I see Jameis Winston.
He can't turn over the ball on the bench. He'll be fine. Don't worry.
Well, you'd be surprised if Jameis Winston can do that. But at the end of the day, it's going to be Jameis Winston eating those W's at the end of each Sunday when the Saints go 17-0.
Yeah, now and then you woke up and you realized you're playing Madden and it just wasn't the way it was. Yeah, okay, all right, 17-0. Sure. That's not happening. Taysom Hill's going to win the job just like he did last season. I'm pretty sure they had both these quarterbacks there. They could have chose which one they wanted, and Mr. Payton chose Taysom Hill still,
so.
Didn't he?
I think it was because Taysom had a better grasp on the playbook, and in my opinion, they were kind of protecting Jameis Winston because he was only on a one-year deal, and they didn't want him to ball out and go somewhere else because they wanted him to be the starting quarterback this year and be Drew Brees' successor.
That's a very good point, but I
Thank
still
you.
Don't
next,
know
Nick,
why
what's
you'd
the
want
next
that.
One? He already said
we're not finished. No. I'm not finished. You said something about that they would be better off with Jameis Winston than they would Taysom Hill. Now, the record last year, I believe, for him was still 3-1 when he was the starter.
Yeah.
Pretty good numbers.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty good.
And his... We're talking fantasy numbers, though. We're not talking about who would make the Saints better. That's your bias because you really want them to win. That's on you. But
well,
let's talk a little
bit of
fantasy-wise.
Winston would make him better, ultimately being the starter, ultimately ending up with
more
fantasy
points. Hold on. Well, if he starts over the other one, yes, he's going to get more fantasy points. Just the way it's going to work. But that's not who's going to start. Nick, last season, how was Hill's fantasy numbers? Can you bring those back for me?
Yeah, last year, Taysom Hill had 21.1 fantasy points per game in those four games that he started, and he ranked eighth overall, had four rushing touchdowns in those four games as well.
Huge.
Yeah, so had he continued that pace, they're saying that he would have been eighth overall by the end of the season.
Yep.
That's pretty good fantasy numbers for a quarterback. And he was already 3-1, so he probably would have finished with a winning record. They would have went to the playoffs. Who knows what would have happened at that point, depending on how well he did if Breeze didn't come back. So, I don't know. I'm seeing this as a true position battle. I think he's been there longer. I think he's the guy they're going to go to first rather than Winston. I know they're going to fight hard for it. He's training to be a quarterback. He's not training to be the Swiss Army knife that he has been for the past seasons.
He ain't
going to
be the quarterback.
Not if he's going to be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. So, but in my eyes, I think he's going to win the job. I think he's been there longer. They owe it to him. Sean Payton has some kind of love thing for him because he's kept him this long and he's already told them other times he'd be the guy to succeed Breeze. I think there's something there. I think there's a little thing behind the scenes that we don't know about, that you don't know about, obviously, even though it's your team. And I think Taysom Hill's going to be the guy. I mean, he did well last year. There's no reason as to why he shouldn't be. And Winston didn't
do much last year. Yeah, there is a reason why he shouldn't be. He's not a quarterback.
They didn't trust him.
So
it's going to be Hill.
As a starting tight end.
As a starting tight end.
All right. Okay. Honestly, I got to go Jameis Winston here as well. I'm sorry, James, but I think Jameis
That's only because you drafted him in three leagues. Stop lying.
Which is why I got to go with him. Okay, don't worry about it. It's going to happen.
He's a stockholder. He owns a lot of shares.
Yes, and he has to play, okay? I need him. But let's change our focus here. Let's go to wide receivers now. This is a big dispute after the draft this year. We're going to talk about wide receiver T. Higgins and wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. Which one do we see as being the better option this year?
All right. Well, I'm going to lead this one, just because you talked too much last time, Chris. So in my eyes, I mean, when you have a rookie that shows up out of nowhere, yes, he was a third round draft pick, comes in, starts for your team, was doing, I think he was a third round draft pick.
He was their first second
go
pick.
Back and take a look at that. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Nonetheless, last season, he almost had 1,000 yards receiving, and by the end of it, he probably would have had Joe Burrow not gotten hurt. Joe Burrow and him were hooking up really well. The throws were coming through. Nick, can you tell me the stat he had amongst the wide receivers last year?
Yeah, amongst all NFL wide receivers with 100-plus targets last year, Higgins was 19th in yards per route run, ahead of a lot of top names like CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, and Deontay Johnson.
Big names.
Those are pretty big names from what I saw. And a lot of people are worried about because of the fact that they got Tyler Boyd still there. And they have Ja'Marr Chase. And they have Higgins. I do think all three of them are going to be on the field. They run the 11 personnel 82% of the time last season. I think they're going to do a lot of it again, and you're going to see these guys get the ball. I think that's an advantage for T. Higgins. I think people are sleeping on him because they think Chase is going to get all of this stuff that I just don't see Chase getting right off the bat. I think that teams are going to take their defenses and they're going to try and take Chase out, which is going to leave T. Higgins open, and they're going to forget about him, and he's going to get a lot of his yardage. I could see by end of season, I mean, the projections I've been seeing and what I've been putting together, it's going to be really close. Don't get me wrong. I could see them both in the 1,000 to 1,100 range. I could see them both in the 6 to 8 TD range. I just think T. Higgins is going to just a little bit ahead of him, and he's going to be the better wide receiver by the end of this season. Next season might be a different story, but by this season he will be.
I think that that stat you provided there with the among the wide receivers, I think you got to take out the two outliers in Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb only because they had Andy Dalton throwing him the ball. I think if Dak was throwing him the ball, those two guys might have had a little bit more of a bump in their production. But Nick, would you happen to have...
But if Joe Burrow finished the season, he could have been a little higher too.
Yeah, but now you're talking ifs, right? We can't bring in the ifs. That's all hypotheticals. But
that's what you just said.
No. I give you a fact. I said Andy Dalton.
You're saying if Dak didn't get hurt, they would have been higher. It's also an if. You just said if too.
You're right. Absolutely right.
Okay then.
Nick, would you be...
Perfect. Nick, thank you. I win.
Would you be able... Can you bring me LSU's numbers between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, please, so I can make this guy quiet? Please, can you give me that?
Of course. I know I got the numbers here. You being quiet, I don't know.
Me quiet. That's the part that's not possible.
But Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase connected in college. They went off for 84 receptions, 1,780 yards, and 20 TDs.
Can you say those numbers again?
84 receptions, 1,780 yards, and 20 TDs.
One more time for the people in the back.
Perfect decoy for T. Higgins to catch all the balls. Is that all you're going to do is make him say the notes for you today? Is that what's going to happen? You don't have enough on your own. You got to get Nick to say everything? Come on.
The reason why Ja'Marr Chase is going to end up being a better fantasy producer than T. Higgins at the end of the year is chemistry. Chemistry is why the connection of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase is going to put Uno over Higgins as one of Joey B's go-to targets in the 2021 season. I think we can all agree here that probably the main receiver, just based on where Joe Burrow throws the ball in Cincinnati, is going to be Tyler Boyd. But between T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, to me, it's Ja'Marr Chase. And the numbers that Nick just gave us, that's music to my ears. Being drafted as the 39th wide receiver, you're going to get him at a better value than T. Higgins as well. Plus the news out of camp that they don't really even have to communicate. They know what's going on. Like I said, it's chemistry. It's the connection. It's just basic science, James. Come on. You got to believe in science. But
He had chemistry with T. Higgins last year, too. It's there. They already built it.
I think his connection.
So it's okay. All the teams are going to see this. They're going to focus on Chase, which is going to open T. Higgins up.
That's not how defenses work. That's going to happen. Watch tape, James. Do me a favor. Just watch some tape, okay? Get the NFL game pass. Watch the All-22. And look, there's 11 guys on the field in the offense, and there's 11 guys on the field in defense. Mm-hmm. You cannot put a bunch of guys in Ja'Marr Chase with this offense that they're rolling out now. It's going to be a spread out defense because they're going to run a spread out offense. The connection gonna is only going to get better on Chase from now until the start of the season. I think both are going to have great seasons, like you said, but Chase will end up being the top dog in Cincinnati when all is said and done.
Yeah,
you keep shaking your head. You're going
to be fine.
Neck,
don't worry. No, I'm just trying to prove to you that you're wrong.
Okay. Well, some very interesting comments there about those two. I'm excited to see which one actually is favored in that offense. I do agree. I think it's Tyler Boyd first, but I don't know.
T. Higgins.
I don't know. All right, let's move on to our running back duo here. We're going to be talking about James Robinson and Travis Etienne. This is talked about a lot in after the draft as well, having Urban Meyer coming in, drafting, you know, Travis Etienne with Trevor Lawrence, their great connection. So, but let's see what these guys think. Let's see, who do you think is going to be the better one here? What do we got?
I'm not sure why people are having such a hard time with this. These coaches are successful for a reason. They don't vary off too much of what makes them successful. Urban Meyer's coaching track record tells me that Carlos Hyde, the free agent running back that they brought in, is going to run just as a depth running back. James Robinson is going to be the workhorse guy, and Travis Etienne is going to fill the Percy Harvin role, Curtis Samuel role that he had when he was coaching in college. And that is the H-back role, the halfback, half wide receiver role. And James Robinson is going to be the horse, the goal line guy. And both will have fantasy value. Meyer has been quoted to saying that Robinson is one of his favorite guys in camp right now. He loves his work ethics. A true buy low target that you will get at a great value. I've seen him go so late in so many drafts because of the drafting of Etienne. James Robinson came into the NFL last year and absolutely wrecked. Most people got him on the waivers. He was one of the guys that was on a high percentage of championship rosters. He's going to come in. He finished as the running back 7, and he's going to come in and he's going to be a problem again in the NFL. Nick, can you give me his 2020 numbers, please?
Yeah, in 2020, Robinson totaled 1,070 yards on the ground. He tied for 5th in the NFL in that category. He also caught 49 passes for a total of 344 yards in the air and a total of 10 touchdowns on the year.
So he is due for some negative regression because of the company in the backfield. But he is still, in my eyes, going to be a top 20 running back, and he's being drafted in most drafts as a late as RB 25 to RB 30, which to me is going to be great value of where you're going to get him.
Chris, I like where you're going with that. I'm going to bridge off some of the things you said there. But first, I'm going to ask Nick, what round was James Robinson drafted
in? James Robinson was drafted in, what do you mean what round?
Undrafted.
Oh.
He wasn't drafted in any round.
Nick,
he was
what
undrafted.
Round was Priest Holm drafted?
And what round?
Undrafted as well.
We're not talking about Priest Holm. We're talking.
That's such a moot
that's
point,
fine. You
though.
Can
it's
bring up all the different undrafted.
Where he was drafted. It's such a moot point.
Can you let me finish? Let me finish my comment. Let me finish. Lord, you shut up. You had your turn. My turn. So, now Travis Etienne was drafted in what round?
First round.
That would be the first round. So why would you spend all the draft capital on a first round pick when you have apparently this amazing running back on your team already and you signed another running back who's going to run? Why would you spend
a first round pick on another running back? Yet. He wasn't in the building. He doesn't know what he had in James Robinson.
So he made a mistake. You're saying he made a mistake. He didn't see the game tape you're saying you saw from last season of all these yards that Mr. James Robinson had and all the stuff that he had. Is that what you're saying? They don't make mistakes. No, they don't make mistakes. They drafted him in the first round before they did. This new coach is not going to make the mistake. The mistake was James Robinson. He was just picked up. He's there. Great. He did fantastic, but they have no faith in him. If you had faith in that guy, you would not be drafting a first round pick on another running back.
It's a
true argument. Why would you waste the draft capital?
They haven't
trusted. That's fine. Let me continue on. So the Jags last season were 1-15. They sucked. Their whole team sucked. James Robinson was the only guy that got the freaking ball. They had no one else to give the ball to. That's why he had so much production. That's why he did so well. They're going to be better this year. They're going to be winning this year. They're going to throw the ball more this year. They have three running backs, like you just said. James Robinson, well, they're going to win more games than one, I assume. James Robinson is not going to get the stuff that he got last year. He's not going to finish that running back that he was. And that's fine. But I think that James Robinson is also not going to be the lead back of this team. You do not waste that on just this one player. Now, Nick, can you give me some of the Etienne numbers that we were looking up there?
Yeah. So from his college year? Etienne is an elite runner of the football. In his sophomore and junior seasons, he posted roughly 8 yards per carry, 1,600 rushing yards, and 20 rushing TDs in each of those seasons. Wow. He also became an elite catching back, where he had, in year 1s and 2, he had 17 receptions, but then in year 3 and 4, he had 65 receptions. 85 receptions, my apologies.
That's 85. But that's okay. And I won't ask you to repeat that 17 times because I have other things to talk about than Chris does. So on top of all those amazing statistics you just saw there and what he did in college, there was also this thing called a relationship between him and the new starting quarterback that's coming in there, Mr. Lawrence. So that relationship, I think, is also going to play into this, and I think he's going to want his buddy there, just like you were talking about Mr. Chase and Mr. Burrow. I mean, it's the same situation where that relationship is going to be there. I just don't see it. I don't see James Robinson being the guy. I don't think we all both agree he's not going to get the same numbers he got last year, but I don't think by end of season he will be number one. I think before we know it, Travis Etienne will take over. I could even see it by week one, depending on what he does and what he's doing in training camp.
Can't pass block.
And I believe Etienne deserves to be where he's there.
Sorry, man. It's true. He can't pass block.
He's going to be there. You'll see it. That's okay. He doesn't have to. He's got to run the ball.
All right.
That is
horrible. Some great comments on that. I'm excited to see what happens, honestly. I mean, for my sake, with James Robinson on my team again, I hope he's the guy. So we'll see what happens.
You and your biased takes.
And how happy were you when you saw Travis Etienne get drafted?
I wasn't very happy, but at the same time, I wasn't totally upset for this year at least. No, for this year at least.
Yeah, because you talked to
Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney got picked. They settled for Etienne. Settled. He's going to play that role in his offense.
Okay.
That's what Urban Meyer does. And when he does, we'll circle back. Chris, maybe
first-round running back.
Maybe you were right that one time. Maybe.
Maybe. I won't even say that, Clyde, it's hilarious.
You guys are done. Let's go to the next topic. You guys, okay. Let's get back to wide receivers again. Another big rookie wide receiver here, Rashad Bateman and Sammy Watkins on Baltimore. What do we think? Which one do you think has the edge?
Rashad Bateman has the edge in my eyes. He's first round pick, 27th overall by Baltimore. Any glasses? No, I'm good. I'm pretty good. Never had them in my life. Thanks, though. First round pick, 27th overall by Baltimore. I believe this is one of the higher draft picks they've had on a wide receiver in a while. There's a reason for that because this team needs wide receivers, as you can see. And they made a promise to Lamar Jackson to get him some more offensive weapons.
For him not than, to throw to.
Only was, well, that too, yeah. So, but you spend, again, we're back to the first round pick. You spend a lot on a guy. He was a top five wide receiver in college coming out. I know he missed the 2020 season because of COVID. He decided to opt out, which many say if he played the whole season, he could have probably done better. Nick, can you run me through some of those stats he had in that 2019 season there in college?
Yeah, in his breakout year in 2019, he had 1,219 receiving yards on 60 receptions. And he had 11 touchdowns. He opted out of the 2020 season, unfortunately. And so his stock may have dropped. But other than that, his 2019 year was huge.
Nice. And I got some quotes here from camp right now just because I wanted to. I thought they were really good. I thought I'd say them. So Ravens coach Jim Harbaugh has said that he is as advertised from the talent standpoint. And then there's another guy. He's a wide receiver. Oh, he's the wide receiver that we're talking about opposite him. Sammy Watkins has actually said that I've been watching him for the last 2 weeks, and I think the guy is pretty good. He runs just about every route at a professional level. He's doing just about everything I've seen myself doing as a young receiver or any top guys. I think he's a very special wide receiver. So Sammy Watkins is already praising him and saying that he's going to be a very good wide receiver.
It's a good teammate.
I think that he was drafted to be the number one guy. I think he's going to take over and be that guy. And I think Sammy Watkins was only here because if they didn't get someone in the draft, they had a fallback plan. And I think he'll be the guy that's going to lead the way for Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, great points, James, buddy. I was a big fan.
No, we're good there. You can stop.
I am a big fan
of
Rashad Bateman coming into his college season. Unfortunately, he didn't play in 2020, but I get it. It was a crazy year. A lot of crazy stuff going on. Week one, hands down, we all got to agree. It's Sammy Watkins, right? Sammy
just
Watkins,
maybe the one week. I might give you the one week because of his track record. That's usually his week. I'll give you that.
Exactly. But honestly, now, what are we really expecting out of a Raven wide receiver? 750 yards, 8 TDs. Flex plays at the least for either of the guys. But if the band-aid that is Sammy Watkins can stay on the field in Baltimore, he has the opportunity to be the lead dog in that wide receiver room. He is only 28, which is considered wide receiver prime. And the fact that Watkins is being reunited with his old offensive coordinator from Buffalo, Greg Roman, where he enjoyed most of the success in his career, look for Sammy Watkins to be a big part of what they're going to do in that Ravens offense. Nick, can you bring me up that 2015 season numbers for
2015,
Sammy Watkins?
That was a long time ago. Holy.
That was the last time you played with Greg Roman.
We're going
that far back.
Should we go back to when he was a baby and see how he did back then too? Why don't we just keep going?
We could. Do you have that, Nick? Do you have those baby numbers when he's catching balls out of the jugs machine?
Yeah, I got those too. Yeah, just let me go find them. But in 2015,
give me those 2015
though, In 2015, Watkins finished as the PPR wide receiver 20, playing with the Bills under Greg Roman.
You do know he played last season with Patrick Mahomes the last few seasons, and he still couldn't put up those numbers, but you want to go back to 2015?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure that was his quarterback, Patrick Mahomes,
the
guy who
won
throws
the Super Bowl.
All right. Continue. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, 2015.
In that year, he averaged 16.8 fantasy points per game.
That was fantastic.
So that right there alone tells me that Watkins is already going to have a leg up on the rookies, as he will have an early grasp on the NFL playbook, especially Greg Roman's NFL playbook. If he can stay on the field and Baltimore can support a bit more of a passing offense, look for Sammy Watkins to be an absolute steal as the 81st wide receiver taken off the board.
The only things I heard there were injury prone and 2015. So
I didn't say injury prone.
You said injured a lot. You said if he stays on the field, you said there was a lot of different things there that you said that I don't know. I mean, I don't feel too happy with Sammy Watkins. I mean, aside from week one, I'll agree with you on that one. But other than that,
week one, he's the guy.
Now after that, it's I'm pretty sure it's no longer that. I mean, that's even if he wakes it to week two, he might get hurt in week one.
All right. Well, I mean, week one, start Watkins, trade him to Chris after that like I did last year. All right, let's move on. We got one more running back comparison here. One more running back battle, sorry. It is between Lenny Lombardi Fournette and Ronald Jones. What do we think? Who's going to be the starter in Tampa Bay? Is it still going to be Ronald Jones? Did Leonard Fournette get an edge in the playoffs? What do we think?
Oh, man, Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny, Lombardi Lenny, Super Bowl Lenny, all the nicknames that he's accrued from his short stint in Tampa Bay, was one of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that I was hoping went somewhere else for fantasy purposes. The clog that is the Tampa Bay backfield is not something that I want too much stock in per se, but if I had to take one of the two, if I had to put my money down on who would be the lead guy when all is said and done in Tampa Bay, I got Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, but they're not playing in the playoffs to start,
last
Chris.
Last season, he came in week 16. And
they're starting in regular season, not playoffs. If it was the playoffs, I'd say take Lenny, but they're starting in the regular season.
When he was given the backfield last season, he didn't give it up, James. He averaged 73% of the snap share, putting up RB1 numbers for fantasy owners over the last two fantasy postseason games. And although they didn't count
How many fantasy points did that get the guys?
Fantasy postseason actually, is week 15 and 16.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, fantasy postseason.
So not only do you need glasses, you need to take off your earmuffs.
But, I actually got those numbers.
I know that the playoffs didn't necessarily account for the fantasy season, but each and every game he put up RB1 numbers. He was a focal point in that offense. He caught near four passes per game. Ronald Jones was healthy for the Bucs' Super Bowl run, but Arians stuck with Lenny. They re-signed them coming into the season. I don't see anything changing. You can't be too worried about a 29-year-old, soon-to-be 30, Gio Bernard. He's just a depth guy. Fournette, you're getting as an RB3. You're drafting him right now as an RB3 who's going to turn into an RB1. He's going to come in as the lead back of the season. The only reason why he didn't start the season last year as the lead back is because the way he came in late. Ronald Jones already had knowledge of the playbook, the verbiage, the blocking schemes. Now Leo will have that all with the full offseason and ultimately end up as Tampa Bay's RB1. I mean, he was the fourth overall.
Yeah, that's not happening. I mean, Ronald Jones was the guy. He started as the guy. They brought in Fournette because of the opportunity that was there. They were hoping Fournette would be the backup or the pass catching back for them. They realized that's also not the option. That's why they went and got Gio Bernard. Gio Bernard is going to catch balls for this team because Fournette couldn't do very good at it. And if you look at the...
He caught balls down the stretch.
He had a few catches, yes, but he's not
the
guy they want. They know they can't trust him to catch the ball. He's not the guy that they want. That's why they went and got Gio Bernard. That was the whole reason why they put him out there. Or else why even go get Gio Bernard?
I think they got Gio Bernard.
They like Keyshawn Vaughn more than that anyways. They're already saying he's going to get more carries.
No.
At the end of the day, Ronald Jones is only 23 years old. He's just as good of a back for them as he's been. I'm pretty sure he put up some big numbers. Nick, can you tell me what he put up last season for them in some of those games?
Yeah, he actually led the Buccaneers with 978 rushing yards during the regular season, and he scored 8 touchdowns on the year.
Okay, and I believe he set a single season record for them too. What was that?
This is correct. He actually set the single season record of 5.1 yards per carry average on the year.
Okay, so he was running like a madman last season too, and I'm pretty sure that he actually was picked to be starter over Fournette in more games total by the end when they were together. And if it wasn't for an injury and a battle with COVID, Fournette wouldn't have got that chance in the playoffs to take over and do what he did. Now, Fournette also, he also got a little boost because Fournette got hurt a little bit there too. But, and when Fournette was out, he rushed for three straight games of over 100 yards and was all over the place for their team as well. So, Jones is the better running back. He's going to be the guy that's going to lead for this team. The problem, and I, the only thing I agree with on Chris is I don't think I want anybody in the backfield to begin with because there are too many options on this backfield. If I had to choose, I'm choosing Ronald Jones. He's younger. He's quicker. He's been there longer.
He's quicker?
They like him. Yes.
Oh. Can you prove that? Do you have stats on that?
I don't have the times with me. I don't have the times with me. I'd have to get those. But I'll get them for you for next week. I'd ask Nick, but I know he doesn't either. So.
Andy can't catch.
I did not look up those times.
Nonetheless, I got Ronald Jones. I know you're taking Fournette. I think we're both taking neither if possible. So, and nobody on this field at all. But I think it's going to go back to him. Ronald Jones will be the guy to lead this team. And Lenny will be, you know, out of the mix by the end of it. And you'll see a little bit more Gio Bernard than you're thinking, Chris. Negative.
All right, gentlemen. Well done. That's all we got for today's episode. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how right we are with these battles, what happens, who will be the top guy. But I'm sure to be, I'm excited to see what happens during the season. So let's see who's right. Again, the option's up to you guys. So be sure to check out our other episodes. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at The Option Podcast, on Twitter at The Option Pod, and on TikTok at The Option Fantasy Football for even more content and even more of us. Thanks for watching. We hope you tune in next time. Have a good night.
Fantasy football is about choices. Will it be James's expertise or Chris's insight? The choice is in your hands. We give you the option.